Continuing our Disney doctrine, the issue of Disney, and we're looking at today at Ratatouille. How many of you have ever eaten, how many of you know what Ratatouille is? How many of you have eaten it? How many of you have cooked it? One. Okay, well, yeah, you would. You're cooking everything these days. Good to have you here, by the way. Blessings. Angelo's here. We're just got home from the military. I mean, he's got to go back, but at least he's here, you know, so we're glad to have him as well. Well, Ratatouille is a vegetable dish. That's enough to be said about that. It's over. All right? But it's also a movie in Disney. Yeah. Don't laugh. You know, so, yeah. And I'm not going to go into how to cook Ratatouille like I did the last service. Here's how you should do it right. But I won't do that this service. Anyway, the reality is we're talking about Ratatouille the movie. And the movie starts with Remy the Rat. That's really how it starts, is Remy the Rat. Now, Remy is in this movie, Remy's not any other rat. Remy's not a normal rat. I mean, he is a rat. But the point being is that in his ratness.
Ratness?
Huh?
I've never heard the word ratness before.
In his ratness, you know, you're on a roll. I'll see if I can return the favor in about 3 minutes here.
Don't you mess me up.
Okay. In his rat world, he's not like the other rats. In other words, in his world, he wants to live beyond the garbage. He knew he had this whole sense of flavor and taste and smell, and he loved, you know, making things, and he'd smell cheese, and nobody really appreciated that. His dad, in fact, was never impressed with him. He lived kind of like, well, you're kind of weird, son. Until one day, Remy saves the day, saves the nest, because he rushes in and stops them from eating, which is that poison. They put out rat poison, and he saves the day. And so now, his dad was impressed, but he gave him a job, and now he was the official poison checker. He had to sit there and smell everything and check for poison. And that was Remy the Rat's job. He didn't see humans either as other humans see him. He saw them as people that had freedom to discover and explore and create. He saw them as humans as people who wanted to survive. Not just survive, but thrive. To go beyond just living every day in the mundane existence of under the city. He saw them as like, man, they were something else. He wasn't like the rest of the pack. He wasn't like the rest of the nest. He wasn't satisfied with just every day the status quo of doing the same thing. He wanted more. But in wanting more, that made others uncomfortable. They don't understand him. And you've perhaps been that way. When you want more, when you want to do the best job at work, when you're working faster than everybody else, they may look at you and say, hey, would you slow down because you're making us look bad. When you want to live more in the Christian life, other Christians may say, well, can you just slow down a little bit because, you know, hey, we're satisfied with the status quo. Remy said in his mind, I want to make a difference. That's what he kept saying. I want to make a difference. And for some of you, you may want to make a difference. And yet there's the voices in your life, just like there was in Remy the Rat's life. Because his brother, his dad, others look at him and say, you can't make a difference. You're a rat. Don't you get it? You're a rat. You can't make a difference. He left the sewer in this desire to explore. He went above ground and was amazed. He was blown away. He realized at that moment that all this time, when he's living under in a sewer, that right above him was this amazing, beautiful city of Paris. And he went out that grate of the sewer and he looked at it and he says, oh my gosh, what have I missed? So much more than he could imagine. His exploration and his nose led him to a restaurant. It was called Gusteau's. But as only in the world of Disney can be, the owner and the chef who had died appears to Remy. And his spirit talks to Remy and encourages him and guides him. My question today, as we look at each character, as we go through this story of Ratatouille, where are you living today? What are your eyes set on? Are you satisfied with where you are? Because God has so much more for you. Some of you need to crawl out from the normal Christian life that you think is where it is. You need to pull back the grate and step above and say, wow, there is so much more that God has for me. There's so much more that God has for my marriage. There's so much more that God has for my vocation and my calling. There's so much more influence I can have. You need to step back. He was blown away by all that was above. And someday we'll be in heaven. Someday we'll see the final result of that. But he said, there's so much more. Psalms 107 talks about ships that go out into the deep. They see the wonders of the Lord. They see the wonders of God. Not the ships that stand tied up in the harbor or on the shore. The great verse, Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What are you striving for? What are you looking ahead? Are you looking at those things? Or are you satisfied with the status quo? Even other Christians may look at you and say, well, why do you want to do that? Why don't you just live as who you are instead of going further and asking God to do more? Remy pursued his dream, and he ended up entering the restaurant, drawn by the smells. He saw Gusteau's restaurant, and he went in to explore, and that's where he met
the chef, the head chef, whose name is Skinner. And so Skinner is a very small man. He's definitely got a short man's complex. He's the guy that goes around biting everybody's heads off and trying to get a leg up in every situation. He doesn't like Linguini, who's there in the picture, and Remy the rat. And he goes around trying to not only prove the existence of the rat, because nobody believes the rat exists in the capacity that he believes it does, because only Linguini and him have actually seen the rat. And so he'll see the rat. He's like, well, he looks like, what? And he turns back and the rat's gone. And so he tries to do that. But he also tries to show everyone in the restaurant that Linguini is a talentless hack, that he can't cook. There's no way that he can do this stuff. He tries to manipulate Linguini. Doesn't really work. And he also conceals his birthright, which you'll hear about a little bit later. But listen, we all have a Chef Skinner in our life. We all have somebody that's against us that will push you down. We have naysayers, the downers in our life, the naysayers that will step on your head to get wherever they need to be. They have no regard for you whatsoever. They'll try to disregard any success that you've had in your life and take the onus off Christ. Or what they'll do is they'll put the onus on Christ 100%, which absolutely is where it should be. Don't get me wrong. But in a way to make you feel horrible and to make you feel like garbage. I don't really know how these people's attitudes are created like this. At some point, they probably were happy and had a positive outlook. But they're the ones that look for the bad in every situation. They might be people that are close to you, a friend, a family member, spouse. But typically where we see this is in the employee-employer relationships with the boss and the employer. There's always a friction there. Now let me tell you that they are influencing you, whether you like to think so or not. They're influencing you in a negative way. They're draining you slowly day by day, which is why it's so important for us as Christians to be getting poured into. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Okay? If you're not getting poured into and someone's draining you day after day after day, dry bones. You're gonna get to a point where I ain't got nothing left. I don't have anything left. You've sucked everything out of me. I'm done. Proverbs 22:16 says, "Whoever oppresses the poor in order to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty." And this last one, Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." It's so easy for us to sit back and say, oh, karma will get him in the end. But listen, karma doesn't exist. Okay, God, that's who exists. And if God wants to repay, then God repays. And if God wants to let walk, then God lets walk. He's the one. But what we end up doing is we go, you know what, God? I'm going to give it to you, and this is what I want done. You know, like the hitman, like, this is what I want done. I want this and this and I want him. I want him dead. No, but that's what we do. And we try to control the situation. Give it to God, the controller of the situation. Say, let me tell you, I'm going to show you how it's. No, the only thing we can control is how we react to the situation. You guys get that? That's all we can control is how it affects us and how we can react to what's happening to get out of it. To get out of the situation. A long time ago, I had this boss, not him, a long time ago, and she would verbally abuse me day after day after day after day. I would go there and I'd get verbally abused. She'd tell me I'm garbage. She told me I was worthless. She told me I could never do anything right, which is funny. All the jobs I had ever been in, I did well. I did well as an employee. But for her, so I bit my tongue day after day after day. I used to journal a lot every single day. Now I journal maybe 10 times a year, so I need to get back to doing it. But it's funny, the other day I just cracked open my journal. I wasn't even looking for something for this. I just cracked it open to November 2nd, 2011, and this is what it said. "I just can't take it anymore. I can't take another day in this place. I'm actually starting to feel mentally unstable, as though I could lose it at any moment. My boss doesn't respect me. She treats me like garbage, and I feel so horrible every single day that I'm there. This went on for 2 years like this, over 2 years like this. I remember that I would pray for her on my way to work. I remember Mike Sartoris actually asked me, hey, pray for her on your way to work. And I'm like, yeah, I could pray that, you know, something falls on her, she gets sick or something. No, pray for her. And I did. I prayed that she would see what she was doing, that it was wrong. But I also prayed that she'd be in a good mood, because if she was in a good mood, office went good. If she was in a bad mood, office went bad. I'd also pray that she would encourage me rather than discourage me. And it's not something that I just left alone. And, oh, yeah, I'm just going to pray for it. No, I went up and talked to her and had discussions with her to no avail. It never happened, but I was able to change my scenery. I was able to get out of that situation and get that monkey off my back. It was unreal how much weight it was pressing on me every single day. Some of us need to take that monkey, toss it away, and say, get out. Take a hike. You're not welcome here. Get out of here. Once I left, I looked back and wondered, why didn't I go anywhere? Why did I stay in that? You know why? I believed what she was saying about me. I believed that I was worthless. I believed that I was garbage. I believed that I couldn't do anything right. So I was scared to go anywhere else. I'm like, no one's going to take me. I can't do anything right. I believed the filth. Who are you allowing to influence your life, to drain your self-confidence and your self-esteem? Who are the leeches in your life that drain away your energy? Because let me tell you, they exist. It's not just in movies, people. They exist. What we need to do is take a step back in our life and identify those people that are influencing this way and get out.
You'll notice on the screen the two pictures. There's Remy the Rat, and as Paul mentioned, Linguini. By the way, your mob dialect, you know, your interpretation is much... Yeah, it's much better than your country. So I just want you to know that, okay? The country...
You talking to me?
Yeah. So, Linguini. Now, who was Linguini? He's kind of like, these are the two main characters right there. And Linguini was in the kitchen with Chef Skinner. Mm-hmm. But Chef Skinner never noticed him. Didn't even know. In fact, one of the other guys, hey, there's Linguini. And Chef Skinner said, well, he's a nobody. He doesn't exist. He lived non-existent. He was invisible. Never noticed. Actually became the garbage boy because he's... Chef Skinner says, get out. And the guy said, no, we need a garbage boy. Can he be the garbage boy? And yet he was part of the kitchen. Then, through a crazy mistake, you got to watch the movie, he gets stuck with having to make the soup. Linguini has to make the soup. He's not a cook. Okay? He's not a cook. But Linguini has to make the soup. Enter Remy the Rat. Remy the Rat, with his nose and his smells and his taste and his ability to... He loves putting things together. They form an alliance and a friendship. So Remy becomes the chef, and he guides Linguini through the chef's hat on top, through the hair on his head. He'd pull his hair this way, and his hand would move, and he'd do it. He made this fantastic soup. In fact, they served it and got rave reviews, amazing reviews of the soup that he served. And yet, within that, everybody thought Linguini was making it. He was making the soup, to their surprise. All the while, Linguini was living as a nobody. While he was really somebody, he was the heir to the very restaurant that he was serving in. He didn't know he was the owner's son. And when everybody finds out that this garbage boy, this nobody, this no one who paid attention to, was the heir to the restaurant, automatically and immediately he became somebody because he had something. Yet he lived in fear. He lived in fear of that role that he was given. And he says to Remy the Rat, I live in fear because I'm afraid I will disappoint them. He didn't know who he was. Then he lived, and he never lived as who he was. He was an heir. He had access to so much more. Today, as a believer, you are an heir. Are you living that way? Are you living as who you are? Or has fear paralyzed you from living dynamically as a child of God? To knowing that God has chosen you, he loves you, that you live as who you are, valued by God, not set by the significance of the world. The world will say your significance if you have this or do this or have this, or, you know, live this way. But do you know that you're an heir? And some of us need to, like Remy the Rat, like Linguini, need to step out and look and say, wow, all this time I've been living under Paris, and all this time I'm a child of God. Everything that he has is mine. The freedom from sin, the forgiveness, it's mine. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-8. Praise be to God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely given to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that was lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding. All that he has given us. Are you living as who you are? Or are you sitting there saying, I don't really know who I am because I don't know the word? God says, listen, you are a joint heir with Christ. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you know Christ. Don't be ashamed to bear the name of Christ. Don't be living in fear. Let's live as who we are, that heir. That heir of knowing Christ. Live as who you are.
Absolutely. Another person in the movie is Colette. And what Colette is, she's kind of the strong woman, but she ends up being Linguini's girlfriend. She's the one who takes Linguini under her wing, teaches him the ins and outs of the kitchen begrudgingly at first. She really doesn't want to do it, but she does. She's the one with something to prove in the kitchen. She's working with all men, and so she's got something to prove. She's got the extremely hard exterior, but inside is loving, truly compassionate and loving. She really pulled for Linguini to make it, for him to be the real deal. Even in the movie, she says, man, I thought you were real. Like, I thought you were the real deal. Apart from Remy, the rat, she's Linguini's really only ally and proves to be the most loyal one. In the end of the movie, when everybody abandons her, when all the other humans abandon Linguini, she is the one that stays. She is the only one that stays. She's humble. She's hardworking, and she doesn't seek any glory or praise for herself. She's a behind-the-scenes person. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 12, 9-10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. Then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Matthew 23:12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's exactly what she did. She humbled herself. She was a worker behind the scenes, never seeking praise or glory for herself. We all have people in our life that are like this, the ones with quiet strengths, the ones that you know would be there in a heartbeat if you ever needed them. And they would not want it to be brought to light that they were the ones helping either. They're like, no. I'll just help. That's fine. You don't have to do anything or tell anybody that I'm helping. They want to be behind the scenes, helping and encouraging. Colette in the movie is one who's training Linguini on how to be a chef. And she's kind of teaching him, roll your sleeves up and keep your station clean and do this. Yeah, Remy's the cook, but cooking's just half the battle. The other half is actually looking and acting the part of a chef, which he had no idea how to do. And so she's showing him all this stuff to be successful. You know who these people are in your life. They're the people who will correct you in love and teach you with humility and patience. These people are so very important. They are the people that you want influencing your life. Maybe you can think back to somebody in your life who has taught you or trained you with humility and with extreme patience. I know I can. That person is my mom. Now, my mom raised two boys, me and my brother, 5 years apart. We'd fight, fist fight. It was crazy. Little Japanese lady, super strong, humble, and with an extreme amount of patience. Yeah, she had her breaking points. She had her bad days, but she loved us, and she taught us. She taught me, more importantly, how to be a man. And my dad, non-existent, but my mom taught me, this is how you be a man. This is what you need to do to be a man. And you know what's funny is she really taught me how I deal with people. And I can find myself still doing the same mannerisms that she did. And it's funny because she's gone now, but I love that because I still feel like a part of her is with me. And I know that's not biblical, whatever. Get over it. But I still feel like a part of her is with me. She taught me how to be patient, even though I inherited my dad's patience. Meaning, for most of my life, I had none, zero patience. She taught me how to be patient. And the patience that I do have, it can be directly attributed to her influence in my life and the fruit from which using the gifts God has given me. Patience is huge for me, and that's something that she helped me with. I thank God for her. I thank God that I had the chance to be influenced by her, even if it was just for a short amount of time. Who is that person in your life? Maybe there's more than one. I hope there's more than one in your life that are like that. These are the people that you hold on to. These are the people that you put maximum effort into that relationship, because their influence and effect on your life will be seen far after they leave your life. They've affected you so greatly because of that. These are the people you want influencing you. Who is your Colette?
For Linguini and Remy more than anything else, as only in Disney can, Gusteau was the owner and the chef of the restaurant. He was dead. He wrote a book, and the writings of that book and the spirit of Gusteau in the movie, he became that, well, you're a figment of my imagination, but he's talking to him. And really, Gusteau, for Remy the Rat, he became his guide. He became his encourager. He became that influencer who says, you know, don't stop, go on. Gusteau wrote the book, a cookbook. Its mantra was, anyone can cook. Anyone can cook. Now listen, Remy listened to the author of the book. I'm sure you can make the analogy. He listened to the author of the book. Are you listening to the author of the book? Not Gusteau's Anyone Can Cook, but this book. Are you reading and listening to the author who will guide and encourage and direct? Gusteau's motto and the author of the book was, anyone can cook. Christ's motto, the author of this book, is that anyone can be changed. Anyone can be changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We have his spirit who places within us. It's not just a figment of our imagination. We have his spirit to guide us and his word to guide us, to encourage us. Life change, that's what it's really all about. Not trying to impress anybody, not trying to be somebody you're not, but living only to display the glory of God in our life. That he can change us to the glory of God. Not that we just look good, not that we come and we have all of our masks on and we look great, but that he changes our life. Are you listening to the author of the book? Because you better listen to that author, because there's other authors, there are other critics who will seek only to tear you down.
Yeah. In the movie, there's a guy called Anton Ego, who's the food critic. He's a world-renowned critic. He's already written off Gusteau's restaurant as washed up. He even says that Gusteau's taken his place among another famous chef, Monsieur Boyardee, basically saying that his food is absolutely horrible. He ends up coming to Gusteau's restaurant. He tastes the ratatouille, hence the name of the movie. Cries, it takes him back to his childhood, he cries and gives it a rave review. Well, something happens that they realize that rats are actually running the restaurant, and so they close down the restaurant. So after this rave review, they have to close down the restaurant. Well, Remy, the rat, and Linguini and Colette make a new restaurant where Remy is the actual one cooking, and Linguini is actually running around and serving on his patented roller skates, which is pretty cool. In the movie, everybody wants to impress Anton Ego. Like, he's like the culmination of that part of the movie, where they're like, oh, he's coming, Everybody gives him their best. And, you know, what's funny is that they're just like, he's the harshest critic, oh, he hasn't given a good review in this long. Everybody gives him their best. And it's never good enough. It's never good enough. Who's that in your life? Who's the one you want to impress? Who do you look up to in your life? The one you measure your self-worth by what they think of you? Because we have those people in our life. Who is that? The one that puts you under a microscope and examines you and your motives. So many times we look to gain our value from what the people around us think of us. I played that game for so long. I had a group of friends, and whatever they thought about me, that's what I was. If I was clumsy, if they thought I was clumsy apparently. If they thought I was fat, well, I'm fat apparently. If they treated me as though I was insignificant, then I felt that way. I've had several conversations with people who have friends like that in their life, where they're treated insignificantly. The ones where they put all the effort into the relationship time and time and time and time again, only to have zero reciprocation. How do you think that makes them feel? Well, from what they tell me, that they're not good enough for someone to do a little bit of effort to carve out some time to hang out with them or to be with them. You know what I tell those kind of friendships? You know what I tell the people? Let it go. What? Yeah, let it go. You know why? Because I think there's a song, "Don't know what you got till it's gone." That's the truth. They don't know what you have until it's gone. Okay? And if they realize, oh, you know what? They come back, they go, "Man, sorry about that." Okay, cool. But what if they don't? What if, like, huh? Then you're saving yourself the heartache. You're also saving yourself by looking at them going, "Well, they don't value me, so I must not be valuable." That's not truth. Don't believe the lies. If you're putting effort into something and somebody else is not, are they putting the same importance on the relationship that you are? Are they looking at it and giving it the same effort? It's hard to be in a relationship, a friendship with somebody like that. I've been in many of them. But here's the question too. Are you on that side? Like, are you thinking in your mind, you're like, "Oh yeah, the minute you said that, somebody popped in my mind." What if somebody didn't? Are you the person? Are you on the other side of the fence going, "Well, people are trying to have relationships with me, but I'm not really giving them the time of day"? Where are you within that? Colossians 3:1 says, "Then if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Do not seek your value or your self-worth from what people say about you. Seek it from Christ, because he thinks the world of you." You understand that? He thinks the world of you. He says that you're a masterpiece and that you're worth dying for. That you're worth dying for. The only opinion that matters is his. He's the one that's always waiting to talk to you. Jesus is the one that always is waiting to lend an ear, to have a shoulder for you, to ease your pain, to bear your burdens. He is the one that's always there. Everyone in your life will fail you. I'm telling you this. That your friends, your spouse, your family, they will fail. Your pastors, we will fail to meet your expectations at some point. Sorry about that. He never will. Christ never will. You can always count on him. In the movie, Linguini is measured by ego. Anton Ego tells him, "I measure your ability to do anything valuable at all. Anything that has any value at all, I will measure that." We all have that. We probably all have that person in our life, but what we have to understand is that what he says about you, whoever that person is, he, she, doesn't mean anything. Listen, that what your spouse thinks about you and what your family thinks about you and what your parents think about you and what your friends think about you, you want to know what? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything, because you know what? What he thinks about you is the only thing that matters. And he is telling you you're valued, that you are dearly loved, and that you have been specifically gifted to do the thing that he puts you on this earth to do. They shouldn't Anton Ego, your critics, shouldn't have a say about how you feel about yourself. It's Christ, what he says about you, that really matters. And you know what? There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. But there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He says you're worth it. You let him influence you.
So the challenge today is to know who you are in Christ and to live as who you are in Christ. Not to be fooled by the lies of the world, not to be seeking that which has no significance or gain, but to invest in him because he cares for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we have your word. We have your spirit that lives within us. I pray that we will attest to that, that we will listen to your word and to your spirit, that we will know who we are, that we are sons and daughters of you, heirs with Christ. I pray that you would help us to live that way. I pray you'll meet the need of every heart here today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us, that your love never fails, and may we understand that. Help us not to look to the things of this world, but to look to you and the things that you would put in our lives. For it's in your sons that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you for being here today. We're so glad you're here. Paul and Terry are going over to our prayer area.